Welcome to Coffee with Convery, the podcast where we bring you stories of extraordinary people making a difference in their communities and beyond. Today, we're diving into an inspiring story of dedication, resilience, and the transformative power of music. Our guest today is Steve Bagmanian, a name that may sound familiar if you've recently seen the Academy Award-winning documentary short, The Last Repair Shop. This powerful film has brought much needed attention to the LA Unified School District musical instrument repair shop, where Steve and his team work tirelessly to repair and to restore thousands of musical instruments for public students across the city. But Steve's journey doesn't begin with the film's success. As the shop supervisor, he has dedicated years to this vital work, providing students with the instruments they need to express themselves through music. From humble beginnings as a piano tuner in 2003, Steve has played a crucial role in keeping the shop alive, despite funding challenges and downsizing. With the recent Oscar win, life has been a whirlwind for Steve and his team. Donations and support have poured in, allowing them to dream bigger for the future of the repair shop and the students they serve. So let's join Steve now as we explore his story and the impact he's had on the music education in LA and around the world. So grab your cup of coffee. Let's listen to Steve's story. And this is welcoming Steve now to the podcast. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Brian.
Great to have you, Steve. I'm so excited. I told you earlier I saw the film. It really touched my heart, and I'm so excited and honored to have you here today. So maybe what we'll do first is just start with a few fi rapid fire questions so the audience can get to know a little bit more about you. So, what are your pronouns?
He, him.
Great. And what do you think is your superpower?
Integrity, respect.
Awesome. Awesome superpowers. Do you have a favorite smell?
Yeah, the smell of fresh, good fresh baked bread. Always loved that since I was a kid. My grandma was baking bread, and I would always love that smell until now.
That's awesome. Yeah, there's nothing
Oh,
like fresh bread for sure.
yeah, good fresh bread, yes.
Good fresh bread. Let's preface that. What is the best compliment you've ever received?
Honestly, Brian, there is so many. I mean, depends who we're looking at from. But most of the time, it was like, "I'll go see the go-to guy or a guy with the gold hands or something." You know, there were many, but go-to guy was the main one.
I like that. The go-to guy. That's a good one
Yeah,
to be known
go-to
as.
guy.
That covers a lot of territory with that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, my friend Gary started that one. Yeah.
Shout out to Gary. That's awesome. Thinking about guilty pleasures, snacks, what's your favorite snack?
Chocolate.
Chocolate. Dark
Good
chocolate?
dark
No,
chocolate. Dark
dark.
chocolate.
Okay.
Not like not very dark, but 75, 85.
There you
Love
go.
it.
Love it. Awesome. It's good for you too. Favorite subject in school?
Literature, history, that
Literature.
was my favorite.
We all start somewhere, and as we were talking about the audience who are maybe early in their career looking for a career change right now, we have to think back on how we all got started. What was your very first job?
Apprentice in a auto body repair shop. Always loved cars, always loved working on them, and was just a part time. I was still in high school. In the summertime, I would help my sister's best friend's brother had a body shop, and
Nice.
so I was begging her just to kind of like put me there, you know. And that was my first job, really.
It's awesome. It's the thread of working with your hands all the way through these things that
Yeah.
you do. That's incredible. If you had to describe yourself in one word, what'd you say?
Blessed.
Blessed. That's awesome.
I really
Thank.
am. I really am.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump into your story again. Thank you for joining us today. Maybe we could start by hearing about your journey and how you first became involved in the musical instrument repair shop.
I hear you mean at LAUSD.
What's that?
Shop. Yeah, LAUSD shop, you mean? There was a job opening in 2000 here as a piano technician. And I still remember like it was yesterday. I was ordering parts. I lived in Washington State, worked for a big one of the largest piano dealers as a piano tuner, and was ordering parts from Yamaha here in LA. And there was one of the Yamaha technicians, Dave. He was like, "Hey, Steve, you still want to move to LA?" And I was kind of thinking, I had some friends here and stuff. And I go like, "Yeah, we're still kind of thinking, but there's no job yet, no job opportunity yet." So he goes, "Hey, by the way, the LAUSD is hiring. I heard, but I think tomorrow is the last day they to apply." So I rushed it, kind of got online, printed out some applications, filled them out, went to FedEx, and just overnight them here. You couldn't do it on a website back then.
That's right.
So yeah, I've been added to the test list and was invited to a test in 2001, I think, or early 2001. There are a few people for that one position. I didn't make it that time, but I was rated number two in the list. So following year 2002, I got invited. There was another gentleman retired from piano shop here, and back then a supervisor here called me. "Hey, Steve, still want the job?" I go, "Yep." So to January 8, 2003, when I officially started here as a piano technician.
Awesome. It's a good message too, right? Because a lot of people seeking jobs these days, if they don't get it right away, they're thinking, "Oh, I'm never going to work there. I'm not going to have a chance." But
Yeah,
look at
that's
that.
what I thought. I was kind of like, "Oh, and I was only in the business a little over 6 years." And my sponsor, Ken, who actually taught me all this, and we both were working at Music City, and he's Spokane, Washington. And he said, "Hey, Steve, you shouldn't be disappointed because being rated number two from all these like 16, 18 people or whatever guys were there with the more experience, you should be feeling good."
That's
So,
right. That's
and
right.
then that's kind of really changed my attitude too. So.
It's a good message. Thinking about the repair shop, can you share a moment, maybe from their early days, that left a lasting impact on you? Or even recent, it doesn't have to be early days.
There were actually few, but one that it really got stuck with me. I just start working here, of course, and it's one thing is to be tuning a piano for a private like families and homes, and you go actually into the house and meeting families and stuff. Another thing is tuning for schools, and of course that was something new for me. And I got some guidance from piano technicians who been working here for a while. So they kind of like got me into this school situations and stuff, how to go to a classroom and teachers and kids. And so I was tuning in elementary school. And of course, a lot of times elementary school kids are very curious. And teachers said, "Well, please be quiet, kids, and Steve's gonna tune our piano so piano would sound better so we can sing with it. And if you have any questions, keep it, hold it until Steve is done, and then you can ask questions." So in the middle of the tuning, some kids, of course, I mean, kids are kids, right? So they would get noisy, and and this one little girl turns around and tells everyone, "Please be quiet because Steve is tuning our piano so we would sound better. We would sound better." And then that kind of really stuck on me. Every time when I've been tuning pianos after that until now, sometimes I remember and smile like I'm tuning this piano for people to
So
sound better. Yes.
that's
Yeah, that
awesome.
was better. Like, yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I know music played a huge role in your life growing up. I know the story about how you got the guitar and all those things. Maybe can you talk a little bit about that experience and how that also obviously has influenced your work today?
Yeah, well, the country where I lived in Soviet Union back then it wasn't like if you want a guitar, you just go to a store and buy it. You had to know people, you had to, kind of like go to some pumps to get something nice. So when my brother got that guitar, I was so we had a guitar. My dad was kind of playing a little bit, but we had that 7-string guitar. It was a Russian romance, kind of like a Russian guitar that had 7 strings and it had really weird tuning too to it. And I couldn't kind of like really play that, couldn't learn. I was watching these older guys play guitars outside, and I was always wanted to play and memorize the chords, the fingering, and everything. And so when my brother bought that guitar, and after, the story, and then he gives me the guitar, it was just a big thing for me. I mean, it was like, wow, now here I am, like, I don't know, 8 years old, 8 year old something, and I'm having my own guitar, the new guitar, and a good guitar too. All my friends got very jealous and stuff, and then when I joined the band with the same guitar, and we couldn't afford buy an electric guitar, and as I mentioned, you can't just go and buy electric guitar. You have to be going to pawn shops or see if there's anything there. And of course, you go to pawn shops, and it's cost. I remember my first guitar, electric guitar, I purchased for like 130 rubles. That was like back then. It was like 2 salaries, roughly, my dad's 2 salaries. So it was like you're standing there and drooling over that guitar, but what can you do? Nothing, right? So, in the band, we just decided to buy just a guitar pick, put on that guitar, my brother's guitar. So my acoustic guitar became electric guitar. And that's how I was playing it. Then we start playing some birthdays and some events and some, we were like 15, 16. And my first couple of money that I made from those events bought me that first electric guitar.
Nice.
So music, yeah. And then, of course, my sister really wanted me to professionally learn, and she took me to one of the best guitar teachers back in my hometown. And supposedly I was so talented that they wanted to send me to St. Petersburg to a conservatory there for kids. And my mom says, no way, my son is only like 8 years old, he's not going to be living there alone. I can't let that happen. So that didn't happen. But yeah, I mean, music, first of all, it kept me out from the streets. With all this practice, and we would gather to at my friend's house. They had their own house. I was living in a condo, but they had a house, and we would just, start playing, practicing in the backyard or something, and the neighbors all would gather around and to watch it and stuff. So it was pretty good, and I always loved music. I even now when I'm remembering, I even memorized some poems like at school for like literature class or something that need to be memorized. I would add a music to it, and it was easier to memorize for me, like a song. So basically it's like, and my friend was always like, how do you do that? I'm like, I don't know, I tried it, just worked.
It's
So,
a good technique. It's a good
yeah,
technique.
it's actually became a really good technique too, and of course a discipline. And when you're in music, And then expressing yourself, Brian, it's so important for especially young generation. We'll always say that music is universal language. Music doesn't need translator, and it is. It's really is. I mean, when you look at today, I can, without knowing the language, I can express my feelings through music. And it is very important with today's young generation. I mean, mm-hmm. with all this social media stuff around, some bragging, some you know, whatnot, whatever. So, but
yeah,
kids really can express themselves through the music and their feelings. To me, if music does, if I hear the music and I can't picture something with the, in the background, that's not a good music to me, because that's why I always loved like Tom and Jerry from 40s and 50s. I think the director was Tom Bailey. Tom Bailey was the director of that. That there was this episode, few episodes, and from music from 40s. I yeah. love 40s music because when you're listening, you can close your eyes and you picture all the action going on in the background. So that's how you express yourself. That's how today the kids can express themselves, their feelings, whatever they have in their heart through the music. They can express that, and people can actually, by just listening to that piece of music, imagine what's going on in that yeah. person's heart. So,
yeah, 100%. It's I believe music is universal, and I do think it's something that takes you, transcends you to a different place sometimes when you need it most as well. I have to talk about obviously the Academy Award win and how incredible it must be for you to see your story and your shop story on screen. First of all, what does that feel like? I don't know.
Yeah, it's honestly, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect when I first time watched it on the big screen. We had a screening at, I think, UTLA. And with all the sound system and a big screen, all of a sudden you're watching this and it feels like motion picture movie. It's like you're watching a real movie. And then when you see all our stories and my story there, it was amazing. It was an emotional roller coaster, mm-hmm. to be honest with you, really. Yeah. And it still is. Every time I still watch it, it's kind of like, wow, this, like, not because it's about my shop, not because I'm in it or my team is in it, but it's just way all these stories put together, way all these kids' stories yeah. put together.
Yep.
It's just, guys did an amazing job. And it just, yeah, it was jaw-dropping. Wow. You know, really.
Yeah, it's so beautiful, to your point, of all the intertwines of the stories. And the message it sends nowadays, which I feel we need more stories like this being told, because yes. we see so much negativity and I'll say hate even in the news and the world. And we need bright spots of hope and joy and how things can be changed with things like Absolutely. Music. So I Absolutely. Thank you. And to the producers and everyone who put this together, it's something that I have right on my phone and everywhere ready to go when I want to get a good pick me up. How does it change your day-to-day life and the work at the shop by having this experience?
Well, we got more busy, that's for sure. day-to-day didn't change much. Day-to-day work, we're still doing what we were doing and doing as good as and best as we've always been doing. But we got a lot of donations coming in. I have to, like, every morning from 6 o'clock till about 8, I'm answering all the, replying to all these emails we get wow. from all over the country. And yeah, it is, and of course, there's a fundraiser going on. So it's changed in a way we got really busy with people responding to the documentary, with people responding, because people didn't know that there is something like that even exists. And it's sad that this is the last repair shop pretty much of this kind. And I wish that someday that this last repair shop would be first repair shop to start this new era of the music programs across the country and across the world. All these donations that coming in today, it's in a way it's sad too, Brian. I got a call from Florida. The gentleman wants to donate the flute. And I said, why don't you donate it to a school of your choice there locally? He was like, I tried, but they didn't want it. I go like, what do you mean they didn't want it? He says, well, they said that they have no repair facilities. It's going to be a headache for them. They have no budget to do it. That's why he says, I'll pay the shipping. I just want to ship it to you. And I mean, it's nice, of course. It's so beautiful that people have this generosity. People have this interest donating stuff. But it's so sad when school is not accepting instrument because they don't have a repair facility. So that means their kids can't join the music program, can't join a music class because they have no instruments, because the instruments can be serviced. I had a tour bus 3 weeks ago, came all the way from Utah with 45 kids from Zion Kids Symphony Orchestra with teachers, and it was amazing. They loved the shop. I personally gave a tour, but the teachers said that your teachers hopefully understand what kind of jewel they have here by this having this shop.
Yeah.
Because to me, teacher doesn't have to think, music teacher, I mean, doesn't have to think, oh my God, how I'm going to repair this instrument, it's broken. The teacher has to think about teaching part, okay? And in LA Unified here, the way things work, if there's any instrument gets broken or has any problems, teacher just puts a repair tag on it. He dials the phone number. The truck stops next morning, picks up the instrument, drops it off here daily at my shop. The instruments get repaired, and then the same truck takes it back to school. So one day, teacher just opens his class and sees that instrument is sitting there. So it's one part that neither teacher, neither parent have to worry about it. All repairs are free. All the instruments are free. And like I mentioned it earlier, there was, as far as my research that I've done for all these years, there was 4 districts in the United States that had this type of shops. There was New York School District, there was Chicago School District, Boston School District, and of course, Los Angeles School District. Well, all those 3 districts' shops got privatized. So basically, a district lost the control over those. To me, it's like if this shop would be privatized, if this shop be run by some, just a figure without having district any control over it, district wouldn't have what's going on with the inventory, what's going on with the repairs. Then it is just here we, as a big family, LA Unified family, teachers have questions, they contact directly to us, emails, phones. We work for them. We work for our kids. And as one organization, we work together to, at the end of the day, to bring that joy and bring that fixed instrument back to the kid. Right. When district loses that control, then you can't predict how things going to work. It's just different. It's just different.
Yeah, I mean, sharing this and listening to you describe that in more detail, it's you're shedding light on a really big challenge for people to have access to music and have repair shops like yours and have the ability to take part in that. And I hope this movie and your story starts to become a movement to help other people think differently about that, because
sure hope so.
Exactly with your example of the person in Florida sending their flute because the school couldn't accept it or didn't have the ability to repair it. You know, to me, then that you're right, that kid in Florida could have used that flute.
Absolutely.
It's an interesting, I hope more people hear this story and message and see your movie and film, because then maybe there'll be some changes to make it happen differently. I'm going to walk into there. I'm here in Toronto, as you know, and there's a musical repair shop for violins and other things around the corner here where I live. And I'm going to make sure I stop in to talk to them and introduce myself after meeting you.
Well, say hi to them.
I will. Because I walk by it every day. So it's really interesting. So thinking about it, and, you know, looking at the impact your shop's having on students' daily lives, where do you see the shop going from here? Like, what is your thoughts on sort of the next steps or future of your shop?
Well, next step is to, first of all, let's say what would be the word, to modernize it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
With the better technology, the ultrasonic machines, bigger machines. That's on the plan, and it's kind of like it was all penciled out. So we're waiting that the remodeling of our washroom should start soon, and of course hire more technicians, bring that shop back, not maybe to capacity how it was like 22 years ago when I started. There was like 30, 32 technicians working here.
Yeah.
But at least to enough technicians to service all this, because now we have 70,000 more instruments, so inventory is growing, the more schools, more students joining music classes, and hire more people. And another main goal of mine is just get at least three apprenticeship spots here, like open this apprenticeship program for high school kids to kind of like learn the trade. And I rather have teach someone how things work, because I don't want to say that repairing a school instruments is something so different than repairing for a private person. No, but for repairing for a student, it takes maybe a couple extra steps to double checking everything, making sure that it's all correct, it's working fine. Not, you know, because we always say that if kid grabs this either flute, saxophone, or piano, no matter what instrument, and he feels that touch is wrong, the sound doesn't sound right, so keys sticking or something, eventually that student may hate that instrument and just stop his lessons, because it just would come unknowing. And so repairing a musical instrument for a child, it's important that it must be perfect. So by this apprenticeship programs, if you have someone learning the trade here at the shop,
yep,
way things done here, and then they take a test and they go further, maybe become one day they will become a technician. So that's another goal. I really like, there's
that.
A lot of, when we had all this documentary screening, the film screening at our high schools, it was amazing, Brian, how all these questions that high school kids would ask after the screening at the Q&A, their interest in repairs and in how it's all, finally they see how it's all done. Because there's like one girl says in high school, she says, we always thought that there is some kind of a magic North Pole somewhere, and we send instruments there, and all of a sudden they come back all repaired. You know?
Yeah, thank you for bringing up the whole apprenticeship thing and the way you're exploring that and talking to high school students. You know, it's something that I'm really passionate about and have been talking to a lot of different people about how we need to get into high schools a bit younger and share different careers and different opportunities for people to think about, you know, work integrated learning, like an apprenticeship, and how that looks. You know, I know in Canada, and I know the US has similar, like the trades is suffering with lack of people going into it, no matter what category, whether it's construction or in this case, you know, repairing musical instruments, you know, working with your hands. And I think a lot of the challenges is just because we're so super programmed on what success might look like from either our parents or from others. And sometimes we think it's, you know, just going to college or university, and it doesn't have to be. And I think the people that want to work with their hands need to hear these stories, because every time I talk to someone who wants to not work in a corporate environment, I always mention the trades. And I wanted to ask you about that, because I did, you know, what I think hearing from you on this, and I think I'm want to make sure I share this out with some of the people I'm working with now currently, is like, what advice would you have to these young people interested in learning a trade like in instrument repair or other hands-on crafts? Because I don't think the word is getting to their ears, or they're not knowing about it as opportunities. What advice would you give to young people to look into this, I guess?
Well, from my experience, I would advise, if you want to do something with your hands, doesn't matter what it is. You may be a surgeon, or you may be a repair technician. You start with something, with the practice first. Find some apprenticeship program. Not that it necessarily has to be a program. Even a shop that will hire you, just be apprentice in the shop. I started as an apprentice in the piano shop. I didn't know anything about pianos. And so by doing that, you will be building this your ability to use your hands and know the job from inside. Then you do the theory. When you know the practical part of it, the theory comes very easy, because you already know the job. You already know how it's done. You basically just need to add a little bit of kind of like a theory part to it. I went through my piano technician's course that usually people take like a year and a half, 2 years. I went through like 6 months, because I was already apprentice for a year before I started. So if there is a chance, the place you leave, just kind of like a see if you have any music instrument repair shops, violin shops, clarinet shops, it doesn't matter. Just to ask if they can, you know, get you a job, like just an apprentice, and kind of
learn your way.
That would be the first step. Okay. Another thing is, you got to have a goal. You got to have a goal. If you don't have the goal, you don't have a dream, then it's hard to do anything. It's hard to achieve anything if you don't have it. Kind of like you don't have the thing set in front of you. Just never give up. Never give up. We always, that's the one of the things we always tell to our young generation. But another thing is, we should play a bigger role than we do in our kids' lives. Mm-hmm. Because yes, we think, oh, it's a different generation now than our generation. Well, our parents said something about that, two of us.
That's right.
Like Dana mentioned at the documentary, it's hard to be a kid. And especially if they don't get enough education. See, this documentary is very good education. Your podcast is a very good education. They need to hear. They need to hear the good stories. They need to hear some guidance. They need to hear not that, oh, you're so not good, you're doing this, you're all day playing games. I mean, it gets annoying. Eventually, kids just give up.
Tune out.
Yeah, instead of supporting them, instead of saying, hey, if you like doing this, go do it, go at it. Make a goal, follow your dream. just go at it. And
Absolutely.
Another thing is, I always say, don't expect that everything is going to come your way. If everything comes your way, you may be in the wrong lane. You should check if you're not, if you're in the right lane, because a lot of times, especially my son, I remember he was making music and everything. He's very talented, but he just liked to do something else. And then all of a sudden, oh my God, look, everything is going my way. Well, maybe you're in the wrong lane. Well, he did end up in the wrong lane, and then regretted and then came back. So it's so important to have that goal, love what you're doing, and just keep following. The person who doesn't make mistakes, he's not trying enough. You will have mistakes.
Great.
You've got to have mistakes. That's how you learn. That's how you learn.
100%. Super insightful. Great, great advice. I think this, a lot of people are afraid of failure, and we don't talk enough about it. And that's how you learn, like you said. And
absolutely.
And how you learn from it, you skin your knee, figure it out.
Yep.
I had one more question I wanted to make sure I got to, and I could talk with you all day. I find it so inspiring. How is you and your team feeling with all the handwritten letters you've received from teachers and students? I just can't imagine what that feels like, but how have you and your team been affected by the outpouring of love from these people you've impacted?
I think it feels better than holding an Oscar, really. We for Christmas, there's some teachers, a few teachers would collect thank you notes from the kids and bring it every year. But now the thank you notes and letters just pouring in. We just got another couple of those big manila envelopes and of notes from middle school. And when you read it, Brian, it's just amazing. It's
wow.
Just not, they don't just say, oh, thank you. I mean, kids really took their time and they really put their hearts in it, in that thank you word. And just amazing. It just makes you want to do so much more. You know, it's just, they must so much inspiring. Those notes are very inspiring.
That's
and
so
it just
special.
Makes you so proud of what you're doing, and it's very makes you feel good what you're doing, how great it is being part of this team. And yeah, it's different. It's very different.
Wow. Well, oh my gosh. So thank you, Steve, and your entire team and all that work on this together, because the impact you're having, the awareness of this film, the identification of challenges for students to have access to music, like all of this needs to be talked about. If we don't talk about it, nothing's going to get changed or fixed, right?
Yep.
And
Yep.
We need more people like you all in the world. I know there are people like you all in the world that we don't necessarily
Absolutely.
Get to hear about, and stories like this need to be told. And I, from the bottom of my heart, I'm so grateful to have you on this podcast to share this with the listeners and the young people who are tuning in today. It's a dream come true for me to have you on this podcast, and thank you so much for sharing your story and your journey with me and the listeners as well. It's been a pleasure getting to know you better.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for doing this. As you mentioned, it's all a matter of education. Everyone should hear this. And if it wouldn't be a podcast like yours, it wouldn't be people like you, then people won't hear what's going on and won't hear all these good things going on in our lives. Thank you, Brian. Thanks a lot for whatever you're doing. If there's anything else we can do in the future, please contact us. We're more than happy. And I want to thank you. I want to thank Los Angeles Unified is a great supporter of music programs. I mean, it's just a great help. So I wish in Canada, United States, and across the world, all these district school districts would kind of get that example and kind of like start new music programs and have kids be with the music. It's music is a good thing. Music saves lives, and who knows? Maybe someday that one kid that you know was dreaming about that flute will become a famous musician. So
there you go.
You never know. I never know. Thank you, Brian. Really appreciate what you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. And for our listeners, if you liked what you heard today, please share this podcast with your audience on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Coffee with Convery on Instagram, where we share all our episodes. This has been Coffee with Convery. And until next time, please stay well.